The Christian life consists of cycles. If as a young Christian, nobody told you that, then you'll be very discouraged. Why? Because there are some times that the battle is more fierce than the other times. And there are some times in a month, during a year, that you feel a bit more down than at other times. Part of the reason could be physically caused. Perhaps if you're overtired, you lack sleep, and you've not been taking physically good care of yourself, then your mind becomes discouraged. Your mind becomes more soulish instead of more spiritual, and you can find spiritual discouragement. But take courage, because there are spiritual cycles. And understand that in the Christian life, there are highs and there are lows, there are mountains and there are valleys. We need to understand how to remain yesterday, today, and forever the same in Jesus Christ. In the valleys and in the mountains, there are valleys and mountains in the Christian life. There are. If there is sowing and if there are reaping, obviously there are. During the sowing time, you don't see the results. During the reaping, you get all the results. So it must be ingrained in our Christian life. I wish somebody had told me that when I was a young Christian, because I went through every one of those cycles. And I say, is the Christian life that way? Am I unique? Is everybody else like that? And I used to think that in the Christian life, that once you come to know Jesus, all you do is float on the cloud. They didn't tell me about the valleys and the mountains. If they had told me that, I would be more prepared. And if I enter into a whole month where there will be more spiritual warfare, I'll be prepared because I know I'm coming out at the other end. I know that there's sometimes you go through the tunnel, just like your MRT. Other times, you're right on top of the road. Proof for that, Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. A statement that Paul made about the enemy. Of course, we could prove it from many scriptures, even in the book of Isaiah 40, which we will not turn to while we are turning to Ephesians 6. Right, otherwise we'll be preaching two sermons. Ephesians 6. And while your finger is turning to Ephesians 6, I hope your finger is fast enough. While you're turning there, we have a little interview about Isaiah 40. In Isaiah 40, it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not faint. And they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Do you notice four positions? Waiting, flying, running, walking. You can't miss it when you read Isaiah 40. It's talking to you about spiritual cycles. Do you notice four different speeds? Waiting, flying, running, then walking, and then what it doesn't tell you is it goes back to waiting again. Then from waiting, you go to flying. Flying, you go to running. Running, you go to waiting. Why? Because if an eagle keeps flying all the time, the eagle will die of starvation. Eagles don't keep flying. Eagles fly. Then when they want to catch a prey, they slow down. You cannot catch a prey too fast. Fast, but slow. So he zooms out. But if the eagle keeps flying and flying and flying and flying and flying with the prey, it will still die of starvation. It needs to take the prey to its nest and tear it up, eat it up, or eat that prey right where it is. And sometimes the eagle may be looking for something, so the eagle has to be walking about. Sometimes the eagle is running speed. Sometimes walking speed. Sometimes waiting speed. Four gears in a Christian life. So we need all those things. In the natural world, we need times. In case you did not know it, in the natural world, we need time where you have some physical activity. You need times when you need physical rest. You need times when your body is physically active. Those are the cycles we need to understand in our own physical body, to harmonize our physical body with the spiritual realm. That is all the time there. Try going without sleep, without God's permission, for 2 days. You'll be so groggy. And you'll be low in your optimum performance. And chapter 6 of Ephesians, Paul makes a statement about the enemy. He says, after putting all His whole armor in verse 13. Therefore take up the whole armor that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. My friends, what does he mean by evil day? He says, being able to stand in the evil day. Because Paul knows that God planned good days and the devil planned evil days. You see, the devil attacks you in cycles. Didn't the Bible say that when Jesus said, Satan, get thee behind me, that Satan went away from him, and the gospel story tells us he looked in the book of the gospel of Luke, I remember, that's the one in Luke 4, and he says he will seek to come back at an opportune time. Season. The devil doesn't attack you continuously. The devil attacks in seasons. The devil is not only omnipresent, he's unipresent. He can only be at one place at one time. So the devil attacks in seasons. So what does he do? He and his cohorts plan an attack on your life. But they're not going to attack continuously because all their resources will be wasted on you. They got so many to attack. So many of us. And so many angels working with us. So he has to have his strategy. Just as we all have our strategy. Where we plan mass saturation of the gospel. We plan a meeting. And we pray for God. And we concentrate. In your church, you may have a program of evangelism. Or a certain day, certain time. And then you gear all your energy towards it. Same way. The devil gears all his energy. Day or evil. So he plans. He marks on his calendar. Now we are going to attack Habakkuk Day. On February 28, 1992. So he sets a date for you. And so he plans. From the day you woke up, there were 20 demons around your house. Not in, but around. Why waiting for your car to leave the driveway? Because there are two big angels at the gate. And so they are waiting for you around the office. Waiting for you at the petrol pump. Waiting for you. So they target day 28th of February. And that day you woke up. And your spirit, if you had the five sensations of human witness, the one that gives you the early warning system will ring off. Tell you, the whole day, beware, beware, beware. The alarm goes off. But if you're lethargic, finish the day. From the time you got up, you are in a bad mood. You left your car, and you got angry at the traffic light. And by the time you went down next block, you're exploding. And all kinds of things happen. You wonder, what a bad day you have. Why? And you, when he succeeds in giving you a bad day, and maybe even causing you to sin, your guilt conscience will affect you for the next 3 weeks. So he plans the next one 3 weeks later. Just when you're about to recover. See, he doesn't attack you. Continuously attacked by seasons. That's what chapter 15 tells us. There are cycles, 7-year cycles of relief. They work and work and work, and God said every 7 year, let them go free. Plus, every 50th year, 7 times 7 is completed, have a special year of deliverance and jubilee. Chapter 16, he recaps on all the 7 feasts. And chapter 15 recaps on what every Christian should do. They must step on the fullness of God. Remember what the 7 feasts represent. All the different levels into the Holy of Holies. How the 7 feasts leads us into the Day of Atonement, into the Holy of Holies, until Jesus coming again. How every Christian must grow and look to the perfection of Jesus Christ until we are like Him whom we believe when He appear again. So that is the basis of those chapters from chapter 12 right to chapter 16. In chapter 17 and 18, 17 and 18, it talks about the 3 most important things that we understand the ministry of a prophet, the ministry of a priest, and the ministry of a judge. And we see here in chapter 17 and 18, the priest, the prophet, and the king are mentioned. There are principles in chapter 17 governing kings, principles in chapter 18 governing priests and prophets. And to us in the New Testament, it talks about how now you move from the anointing within. The anointing within that you have as a believer, all your basics that we cover in chapter 12 to chapter 16. Now you're beginning to move into the fullness of that. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, it says we have been made kings and priests in Jesus Christ. It's talking about every believer in God is a king and priest in Jesus Christ. It's talking about an anointing that is common to all believers. And that's found in the book of Revelation chapter 1. Let me just read it out to you. Revelation chapter 1. And we have in verse, looking at verse 6. And has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. Kings and priests to His God and Father. So we have here that all believers have been made kings and priests. Now that is not talking about the special anointing. That is talking about the common anointing. Do you know that the anointing within makes you a king and a priest? In God. It could reach into the fullness of that. And in order to do that, it gives you the key to move into that in Deuteronomy chapter 17 and 18. Chapter 17 and 18. See, chapter 17, it tells you that that kind of anointing and that kingly office must have special times with God. Verse 18. When He sits on the throne of His kingdom. When you sit on your throne of your kingdom, He shall write for Himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priest, the Levites. In other words, He has to do above what others normally do not do. Normally, the priest had the scrolls. But if the king comes into being, he says the king must have his personal scroll so that every day he can read it. There again we have the key to move into the anointing within. Let me tell you, even though all of us have the anointing within, not all believers have tapped even the fullness of the anointing within. Don't talk about the anointing upon yet. Even the anointing within is not tapped fully. Because there are too few believers willing to take the time to write their own scroll. To meditate on the Word day and night. And I will guarantee you, if we could get every believer meditating on the Word, you have a bunch of Christians who are strong to exercise spiritual authority. But it takes some work. For the king, it means extra work. Besides extra responsibility, it means extra word. He has to do more word study. And chapter 18, he gives requirements of the priest and the prophet, and he warns about those things that we cover again about a presumption in verse 22, how the prophet cannot, must not, and should not speak presumptuously, the office of a priest.